You do? Matthew chapter 6. Smile at my wife, because sometimes when you have kids, you end up having no idea where your Bible got put. Sometimes if you have a mind, you can't remember where your Bible got placed. I never remember forgetting anything. I remember remembering, I just don't remember the forgetting. That's what that means. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking through this passage of Scripture. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are, for what you've done. We thank you for your grace and just your truth. Help us today just to desire your will in our hearts. Lord, help us to be mindful of your desire for us. And we just ask that you bless this word as it's brought before us today. Help us to look at your word. It's your truth. Help us to receive it with gladness and understand that it's your desire to speak with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, if we were to just go through this passage of Scripture, we see the Word of God just gives us a very plain presentation of what prayer is. Oftentimes we hear the model prayer and many people, many religions, they take that model prayer and they use that prayer in its sense as it's written down in violation of the Scriptures that are preceding it. And they think, since I'm using this, I am going to be heard by God, because I am using his model prayer that he gave us. And it's a strange and it's a weird thing, but vain repetitions mean absolutely nothing to God. In fact, he's warned against them, commanded against them, instructed against them, and then instructed what to do. But there are truths to remember about prayer. So very quickly, we're going to go over three important truths. And if you're there in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start at verse number 5. And the Bible says at verse number 5 here, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." It explains it very clearly. They are praying so that they can be seen of men. It's their desire to be seen of men. God says, Christ said, they've got their reward. They got what they wanted. Yeah, right. So if our prayer is a prayer to be seen of men, so somebody else takes note and realizes how spiritual and how close to God I am, that is not prayer. He says, when thou prayest, pray not as the hypocrites are. The first truth of prayer, we must pray in sincerity. We must pray in sincerity. Prayer is to be communication, talking with our Heavenly Father. And if a prayer is for anything other than talking to the Heavenly Father, it is not sincere.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Thus, it is not communication with our Heavenly Father. It's an important truth to remember. If we pray without sincerity, we have what we are asking for. If we're not praying in sincerity, we're not talking to God, requesting of him. We're just wanting somebody else to take note that, hey, there, that must be a Christian. That must be a spiritual man. And maybe they're walking. If that's all we're after, that's all we get. And what is that? Vain. It's empty. There's of no value. First truth, pray in sincerity. Second truth is presented here in verse number 6. "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." The reverse of the flesh. Second truth that we're presented here is to pray in secrecy. We're not to be as the hypocrite out in the middle of the public. There have been a few times I've been in a church and somebody started praying and I'm like, oh wow, that's awful flowery. That's awful. That's an attractive speech. That's a great oration. Who are you talking to? Well, some people are very gifted in oration. They're great speakers. And some people can do it just because it's natural. But when thou prayest, you get away from everybody. You meet with God because he's the one you're talking to. Pray in secrecy. Verse number 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. The third truth that's presented here is just pray in honesty. Pray from the heart. Pray from honesty. What's on your heart, God knows what's on your heart. He knows what you need. And if you're not praying for your needs, what he knows you should be praying for, you're not praying from your heart. You're not praying out of honesty. These truths, now this isn't, we're going to move on. There's some parts of prayer that are important to take note of. But these truths are things that we need to be conscious of and aware of when we approach our Heavenly Father. Because we can use vain repetitions. We can get locked into a mode of prayer. I know it's hard for me when at bedtime the kids go down. I've tried breaking up how I pray for them because you get locked into this rhythm and you say the same thing every time. And they're like, okay, you try to break it up. But it is so easy for us to not, it's so easy for us to not talk to God, but just have an exercise. Because this is what we do as Christians. So I'm encouraging you as believers, as members of this family, as Christians, if you're not a member here, as a Christian, when you talk to God, talk to him. That's simple. Three important truths: sincerity, secrecy, honesty. I was trying to find another word started with S, but I couldn't. Parts of prayer. These are important. As he moves on and verse number 9, this is familiar to us, as this is what we would call starts where he's teaching how to pray. He says in verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Lord Christ here is starting to instruct us, if you are praying now, this is the pattern of your prayer. Notice, the first thing he says, after this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first instruction that he gives in our prayer is that we talk about ourselves and everything that's going on in our lives and go apologize and confess our sins. No, that's not what he's saying. He said, after this manner, glorify God. Praise him. Recognize him for who he is. Recognize his name. Recognize his power. Recognize his greatness. Recognize his strength. Recognize his love. Recognize that he is high and lifted up. He's holy. When we come to God, we come to him. You're holy. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways than my ways. God, you're amazing. When I go to God and I need to remind myself many times, okay, I'm starting to not praise God in my prayer. We are to enter into his courts with singing, with praise. God hears us when we praise him. Well, what about when I've committed a bunch of sin and I need to get back and I need to confess? I mean, if you're messed up, he's not listening to you until you recognize his position. So even if you are feeling like I need to confess my sins and all this sort of stuff, you start praying, praising God and recognizing him who he is. Because unless we understand who he is and glimpse who he is, we are not going to realize how much I need to confess. It's godly sorrow that worketh repentance. If we don't recognize him for who he is, we're not really going to be convicted of sin anyway. We might just have a bad feeling like, I can't talk with God because I messed up. It should be, I need to get right with God. And we don't get right with God unless we see him for who he is. First thing, praise. We need to praise him. We need to come into his presence praising him, thanking him. That is the first part of prayer that he's teaching us, that he's instructing us. He was telling them, because this is what you need to do. You want to get a hold of God? You want to talk to your Heavenly Father? Listen, there is power in praise. This is seen when we deal with God, but this is also seen when we deal with each other, especially on the workplace. We often use the idea of complimenting people before correcting the person. Because if you don't praise someone for what they do, they're not even going to really listen to you because they don't even know you care. Now, if somebody comes up and praises you about something, get ready, it's about to be lowered. Hey, you did a good job with that over there. But the other thing, no. But God's the one who gave us that pattern, because that's how he wants us to deal with us. That's how he wants us to deal with him. But it's also how he often deals with us. He encourages us before he corrects us. And then he comforts us. The second part of prayer that he presents us in verse number 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The second part of prayer he gives us is the idea of obedience, the idea of submission, the idea of yielding to him. Because you notice it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, if you understand this or not, but when I got saved, I became a part of the kingdom of God. I was in God's immediate jurisdiction because my heart became indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. I am a working element of the kingdom of God. And I can do one of two things. I can act in the kingdom of my flesh, or I can yield to, okay, thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. When we're saying thy will be done, thy kingdom come, it is us saying, God, may my life on this earth be lived as if I was in your presence in heaven. That's us saying, in this my life, this is your realm. This is really your kingdom. You are in control. But may I live like you're in control. And that's the second part of prayer that we're supposed to approach God with. May I live as if you are in control. May I show others your kingdom. May your kingdom come in my life. We don't need to sit around waiting for God to come down and establish the rule. Most of us want to do that. Too many people want to do that. But Calvinists, that's what they want to do. We don't need to do anything. God's just going to make it work. It's just going to happen. But no, his desire is that we pray, may I live according to your will. And that's supposed to be that's part of our prayer. When we approach God, we're praising him. And because you are who you are, may I live like that. And it goes on in verse number 11. Here's where we start wanting to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. We're not even supposed to ask God for a petition until we recognize his goodness, his greatness, and voice our submission to him. But usually we want to go immediately to, I need. We need the second part of prayer is just asking God for his providence, for his provision, for his giving. He's a giver. Too many times we're just a taker. There's two types of people in this world. There's givers and there's takers. Which one are you? That was a nice little preaching. Providence. We need to ask him. It's so often that we get in this mindset, I'm going to work, I'm working a job, I'm getting a paycheck, that's what's meeting my needs. Flawed thinking. Flawed thinking. I might work a job, but my job is not what meets my needs. God is the only one who can meet my needs. Why do you say that? Because honestly, I don't know what I need.
Right.
Honestly. I know I need food. It's a simple one. I'm pretty sure I need water. And I can identify things that I think I need in my life, but God's the only one who knows what tomorrow holds.
Right.
As much as I would like to know what tomorrow holds, actually, I probably wouldn't, because I probably do. As much as I'd like that, I don't. None of us know what tomorrow holds. God does. He knows what we need tomorrow. He can prepare us for tomorrow if we meet with him today. We pray for, Lord, you're the one that supplies my daily bread. You're the one that provides for me. And that's a part of prayer, recognizing our dependence on him. That's an important aspect of this, because we depend on him. You do depend on him, Even if you don't know you depend on him, you do depend on him, because the Bible in Colossians tells us by him all things consist. The moment he takes his hand off your life, you're dead. He is the only thing that keeps the world spinning. He is the only thing that keeps this universe ticking. He is the only thing that keeps life living. By him all things consist. Part of prayer is requesting his provision in our life because of our dependence on him. We need to recognize it. That's why it's there, that we recognize the very food I eat today is all because of him. That's part of it. That's an essential part. Then the fourth part that is presented here in verse number 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." The fourth part of prayer is forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. Listen, after we recognize God for who he is, after we submit ourselves to his authority, after we recognize our dependence on him, this is where we finally get to the point where, okay, God, I might need some forgiveness in my life. You know, this is important to keep this in perspective, because if I feel like I need to, as 1 John 1:9 says, confess my sin, he's faithful and just forgive me. He will forgive me. But if I'm in that mindset where I've messed up and I just need to confess my sin to him because I need him to forgive me, I'm missing something, because he first wants me to recognize him. He wants me to yield to him, and he wants me to depend on him. And then when I'm sitting there like I've got nowhere else to turn, God, that's when all can be revealed in my heart. And then notice it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's an important part of it. He puts it there for us to understand, because I am not going to forgive you if you are not forgiving your brother. And that's what God wants us to understand. And he put that there because if we go to him in prayer, it's very important for us to remember, if we have aught with our brother, we've broken communication with God. And we've got to get that straight. I remember I've messed things up with too many people before, and I've had to go get it right. Forgiveness. That's a part of prayer. We are to ask God for forgiveness. And in asking God for forgiveness, he will identify points in our life where we need to extend forgiveness to others. When we start, I need to be forgiven. Like, well, what about so-and-so? Oh, I need to forgive them. I don't want to get too involved in it, but forgiveness is extremely important in the life of a Christian. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us." When God talks about forgiveness, we need to understand God's not talking about forgiveness the way we think of forgiveness. See, God understands forgiveness like no other, because God looked down on this world and he loved this world, so he gave his only begotten son to die for this world so that all might be redeemed unto him. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And while we were yet sinners, our very flesh and the sin and the lust was complete enmity with God. God hates sin. God loves righteousness. God would have been justified to say, life, earth, mankind, I just don't want to put up with the sin anymore. You're gone. He could have done that. But he made that way. And as vile as we were, worth no forgiveness, Jesus died. And God said, because of his death, I'll forgive you. And so if we ever have somebody in our life that needs forgiveness, it's not based on our feelings. If somebody has done something to us, our thought on forgiveness is because God forgave me, and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God forgave all sin because of that. If God can forgive what they did, why in the world would I not? God's forgiven them. I need to be forgiving and allow God to do what God's doing. Because God wants to work in their life just like he wants to work in my life. And sometimes if I'm holding bitterness toward them, who's the one that God's going to be dealing with? Have we seen this happen in a court? Some of you watched court shows things. Somebody is wrong, somebody is right. But the person who's right is often so irritated and frustrated that they lash out and the judge says, you're in contempt of court. And he addresses the victim and he's not dealing with the he's not dealing with a problem because the other person is making too much of a scene. They're throwing a fit. We throw a fit with God. He's going to address with us before he can, okay, you stop and then I'll take care of this. Kids are like that all the time. It's a part of prayer. Forgiveness is an important part of prayer. But another part of prayer is also is deliverance. In verse number 13, the Bible says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I've even heard somebody mention this verse this last week, and some people are confused with this verse because God's not going to lead us into temptation. Well, of course he's not going to lead us in temptation. And if we don't pray that God's not going to lead us in temptation, does that mean he is going to? No, it's just the recognizing that I need you to lead me, because if you don't lead me, my default is to temptation. So the verse here, what he's presenting is that we are to be asking our Heavenly Father to lead us in the way that is opposite of what we would naturally do. Now this is important for, I say this is important for me. This is a truth that I was taught, and I had to take this truth and make this a part of my life, a part of my devotion, because when I am not in the morning asking God to deliver me from temptation, I found that I would often have more trouble. Because I could point at certain points in my jobs, in the places I've been in my life, there is temptation here. There is temptation here. I know it's there. So before I start the day, I'm honest with God and say, God, I know that temptation is there. Lead me. Deliver me from temptation. Because it's there. I know it's there. And I found when I'm honest to God and saying, God, deliver me from this temptation, and it's there, and I know it's there, I want you. God makes a difference in my life. He makes a difference in my day. He makes a difference in my heart. He makes a difference in my mind. Talking with your Heavenly Father is important because he knows all that pertains to life and godliness. And he knows what's going on in this world. He knows what's going on in your life, knows what's going along in your heart. And he just wants you to open up and talk to him as you would talk to a father. There's another aspect of prayer that we would deal with in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplications for all saints. But when we start speaking to God for the things going on in our life and the things going on in the lives of others, this is another part of prayer that's essential for us, because the Bible says, let your supplications be known before. We're supposed to pray and we're supposed to open up. We're supposed to talk to him. But I say this now because that is what we usually do when we come to God in prayer. In our devotional life, that is often what we just go to. God, have your hand on this, and Lord, bless so-and-so, and bless so-and-so, and Lord, we know we're working on this over here, and Lord, we're figuring what we're doing at church, and we want you to lead, and we want you to direct us. And I'm saying this now because I want us to be prepared for the next few weeks. We might think we know what God is doing, but that's not the point. We want to know how God is leading. And we're not going to follow God unless we are actually in communication with him. It's easy for us to be distracted. It's easy for us to not know what's around the corner. And we don't need to know what's around the corner. What we need to know is, am I talking to God? Am I communicating with him? Am I getting in touch with him? Because if we're doing those things, I guarantee you, if we're doing those things, we can be assured of God leading in our life. If you don't know if God's leading you, it's probably because we're not doing these things. These parts of prayer are interesting. They're important. Our prayer needs to start with praising him. Our prayer may end with us, but it should never start with us. If your prayer starts with you, it tells God who you think's most important. I don't know about you, but I don't want to tell God, listen to me for a second. I'm guilty of that. God says, can you talk about me for a second? You know how you make something a reality in your life? You talk about it. You just talk about it. Is God a reality in your life? Are you talking about him? You know what God wants to hear? God wants to hear you talking about him to him. Because if you're talking about him to him, he hears you verbalizing that you have a knowledge of God. You know something about him. You've spent some time to actually think about God. If we don't have anything to say about God, to God, listen, this is important. If we don't have anything to say about God, to God, you're not going to have anything to say about God to somebody else. There are some types of prayer that are important for us to keep in mind. It's because prayer, as we pray for other people, and as we pray for our needs, we pray for a pastor, we pray for the people of this church, and we pray for missionaries. There are types of prayer that the Bible presents us with that are essential, and we're not going to get to those kinds of prayer unless we establish, I need to have a right prayer life. Once we have a right prayer life, our prayers to God, he'll start hearing. Because you know why God's inclined his ear toward us in the first place? It's because he has trouble hearing us. We talk too much about the things we ought not. We're like a white noise fan going on, talking about everything when he wants to hear something and we're just saying everything else. That's why he gave us a pattern, so we can understand, okay, this is how you want me to pray. You want me to my prayer to start with praise. Then you want me to be obedient. Then you want me to depend on your provision. You want me to forgive. And I need to pray for deliverance. And I need to speak on the behalf of others. When I speak on the behalf of others, this is often we will use the term intercession. Christ was our intercessor. To an intercessory prayer, to make intercession, it has the idea about acting between parties with a view to reconcile with those who differ or there's a contention. Because I don't know about you, but when I was lost, I was opposed to God. Christ was my intercessor. But when we offer intercession is when something's going on in somebody's life and they need God to get a hold of them, we can go between them and God and say, Lord, could you just work on their heart? Can you convict them? Can you show them that they just need? And that's what we should be doing instead of, hey, brother, did you remember what so-and-so did? That's our default, right? Our default is supposed to be, God, I know you saw this, and I know you know what's going on, but could you just reach his heart? We need to intercede on the behalf of others. We've lost people in this church that if as a body, we made intercession for them, what could have happened? Now, sometimes people just make a decision, and that's a fact. It's a sad fact, and that's happened. But when that has happened, what was I doing? What were you doing? Intercession is a real part of prayer. Now, I'm going through these parts of prayer just because it's an important thought for us to just consider. And oftentimes, we don't even think about these parts of prayer and these types of prayer. Luke 23:34 said, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know when people mess up in life? Sometimes they just don't really know what they're doing. We often don't count the cost. We don't realize that if I do this, there's a consequence. Sometimes we just don't think because we're too bonehead. He just wants us to pay attention. I'm missing things. Must not have gotten saved before I hit that exit all the way. When I mention Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it talks about supplication. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, there are times that we just need to we request on the behalf of others. And it needs to be something that we are, that this means this. If we see a need in somebody's life and we can go ask God to meet that need in their life, it means two things. Number one, we care enough to talk to God about it. But number two, we were observant enough to notice that somebody had a need. Yeah. And the Bible says we're supposed to be praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. I'm reminded oftentimes, who am I not praying for at church? If I'm not praying for someone, this is what God's dealing with. Will deal with me about, and what he's reminding me about, if you're not praying for them, not only are you not obeying the scripture, but you also don't care about them. And that's, God likes to grab me up like a rag doll and throw me around sometimes. It's like, oh my soul. Another type of a prayer, these are some of the most, I found a good book on prayer. If you're interested in it, it's very good. It's the book of Psalms. Most of you have it. It's awesome. And these are some of the ones that you'll just notice. If you go through the book of Psalms and you will see David praying on behalf of others, you'll see David giving, requesting petitions for himself. You'll see David requesting harm for somebody else. Those are what we would call imprecatory prayers. It's where you, like, God, so-and-so is out of line. Could you just get them? Psalm 35:1, it says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. God, listen, you know why sometimes that's important? Sometimes somebody does need to be fought against. But it doesn't need to be you. Sometimes we need to back off and say, God, they're against me. Could you just deal with it? You know why that's important? Because he's the one who can deal with it. And if we're so busy on dealing with it, who's not going to deal with them? The one who could deal with them. Because we get in the way. An imprecatory prayer is when we say, God, I'm leaving this alone. You can take care of them. But I would say, if we ever have that kind of prayer, we should also be praying in some form of intercession as well. Like, God, can you take care of this problem? It needs to be taken care of. But could you just teach them, show them? And I made this, this is the last aspect I was looking at. A type of prayer is just a petition. A petition simply, it's a request. Let your request be made known unto God. Requests are important. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not. It shall be given him. If you lack something, just ask God. I don't know about you, but with me, This is the last thing I did on purpose, because that's almost by default the only thing I will do. Ask God for something from me. Let's not get prayer out of order. In our prayer life, let's put God first. I'll make this note. If we don't put God first in our prayer life, he'll never be first in our life. Prayer is important. Prayer is essential. So I just hope to this morning just encourage you. Just take note of your prayer life. How is your prayer life? And I know I've heard this before. I've heard this from this pulpit. I've heard this from teaching here. This is truth that's important for all of us. Not just trying to remind us this morning. This is where God wants us to be when we're praying. And as this next couple weeks comes up, you don't need to pray less. You need to pray more. You need to pray more. And if we're praying more, may it not be senseless babble or vain repetition. Let's get a hold of God, talk to our Heavenly Father, and ask Him, just have Your will done. Dear Lord, we do thank You for the opportunity we have to be here in Your house, and ask that You just help us draw closer to You, to seek Your face, and ask that You be with the rest of this day and the services to follow, and just thank You for Your goodness and love. In Jesus' name, amen.